Today we're talking about the oldest regiment in the British Army.
We have many hundreds of years of tradition.
Now bear with me because this is a little bit confusing. Sometimes it depends how you frame the question. Are you talking regular? Are you talking reserves?
Currently we provide a very interesting role.
If you quickly Google oldest regiments in the British Army, it will probably tell you it's the Coldstream Guards. Also, the Scots Guards might have something to say about it. But that isn't the full story. Do you know what the oldest regiment in the army is? Let's find out.
And just quickly, be sure to listen to this full episode to actually hear a first-person account by one of the unit's Victoria Cross winners. It's absolutely fantastic.
The year is 1537. Henry VIII is king. Yep, the guy with all the wives.
Off with the head!
Now, I'm not an expert on this period, but let me try to explain. King Henry had recently broken from Roman Catholicism, meaning there was a very real fear of invasion from the European continent. He decided to boost the nation's defences and its military. One of his actions was to grant a charter to the Fraternity or Guild of Artillery of Longbows, Crossbows and Handguns. These chaps were intended for, quote, the better increase of the defence of this our realm and maintenance of the science and feat of shooting in longbows, crossbows and handguns. And with that, the Honourable Artillery Company was born.
It is perhaps sentimental, but pleasant, to find a unit which preserves in full its individuality and its traditions.
The word artillery in Honourable Artillery Company is a little bit confusing. In those days, it basically described any sort of projectile, not necessarily the powerful ordnance that we think of today. And as an aside, stay tuned till the end of the video to find out about the fascinating role the regiment now plays in the modern British Army. The Honourable Artillery Company do not have a long list of battle honours, but their history and also their organisation is fascinating, if a little confusing.
Our swords are in God's hand.
The first big event in the unit's history was the English Civil War. Parliament versus the Royalists, 1642 to 1651. The Honourable Artillery Company had men fighting on both sides. Eventually, of course, Parliament emerged victorious. And then in 1656, officers of the Honourable Artillery Company founded the regiment now known as the Grenadier Guards. The regiment was then known as Lord Wentworth's Regiment, was formed in Bruges, present-day Belgium, and was part of the exiled King's bodyguards. This wasn't the only prestigious regiment that members of the HAC helped to establish. In 1664, a unit I have a big soft spot for, the Royal Marines were first formed.
Even in 2007, the district of Nari Siraj was still relatively uncharted territory, although British forces had been here since 2006.
Get down!
What was clear was that many were hostile.
At the time, they were called the Duke of York and Albany's Maritime Regiment of Foot and consisted of 1,200 infantrymen. The recruits were from the London Trained Bands, as they were known, and the Honourable Artillery Company were very important in their formation. Instrumental, in fact. So within the space of just 9 years, members of the HAC had helped to form two of the most famous units in the British military. Good work. Anyway, let's jump forward a bit, because to be honest, the next few decades are pretty dull. In 1780, they helped to suppress the anti-Catholic Gordon riots. And of course, the Honourable Artillery Company were involved in plenty of pomp and ceremony and some policing before its first big military test, the Second Anglo-Boer War of 1899 to 1902. That war, as I'm sure you know, was a bit of a nightmare for the British Empire. The army was forced to call upon many hastily raised volunteer units to travel to South Africa. One of these new units was the City of London Imperial Volunteers, of which over 150 members of the Honourable Artillery Company were to serve. In fact, the field battery of the CIV was almost completely made up of men from the Honourable Artillery Company. The historian Basil Williams served with the unit and has left us a book on its service in the war. On page 23 he says, "Our riding and driving were far from perfect, and few of us had the requisite experience of those essential matters, the care of horses and harness. Happily, we were stiffened by a strong leaven of old hands, NCOs and men, who fell into their duties easily and gave an example to their weaker brethren." Anyway, finally, with a bit of training, the lads were able to get up to scratch, and they arrived in Cape Town in February 1900. They finally saw action in the Free State against Christian De Wet's commando on June the 26th. It was the first time the Honourable Artillery Company had fired their weapons in anger on foreign soil. Here's Williams again. "As soon as we topped the bank, our baptism of fire began. A fairly heavy rifle fire, knocking up those uncanny-looking dust spots all around us and causing slight casualties among men and horses. But the advance was perfectly orderly. The guns were unlimbered smartly, the teams and wagons withdrawn to the rear, and without the least delay, the range of the hostile copy, that means hill, was found. and shrapnel rained accurately on its crest and reverse slopes. We kept up fire for an hour and 10 minutes, expending 225 rounds, and by that time the Boers were silenced and had abandoned the kopje, so permitting the convoy to resume its advance in perfect security. As in all our fighting, we were wonderfully lucky, for though our position offered not a stock or stone of shelter, we had only two men, Gunner O'Hagan and Driver Clough, wounded and four horses hit. The lads went on to see further action across the Free State and the Transvaal. Six members of the Honourable Artillery Company died while serving in the Boer War. But by the end of the year, the unit were back home. It had been a short, sharp introduction to war for the unit. But bigger things and bloodier wars were just over the horizon. After the Boer War, the Honourable Artillery Company became part of the newly raised Territorial Force. And at the outbreak of World War I, they quickly fielded a full infantry battalion, which deployed to the Western Front in September 1914. If you want to read the most amazing memoir of the war, probably my favourite book of the war, it's by a soldier of the Honourable Artillery Company. You can't go wrong with the book Fire Eater by Captain A.O. Pollard, VC. I'll post a link to that below. The 1st Honourable Artillery Company, despite the name, was an infantry unit, and they saw heavy fighting as part of the 63rd Royal Naval Division between July 1916 and June 1917. In April 1917, during heavy fighting at the village of Gavrelle, Pollard was one of two officers from the HAC to earn the Victoria Cross. Now, Pollard is an amazing character, and as I mentioned, his book is well worth a read. But the other man of the HAC to be awarded the Victoria Cross for his actions at that battle was Reginald Leonard Bill Hayne. Now, you can imagine my excitement when I was doing some research and I discovered there's actually an interview with Bill available on the Imperial War Museum website as part of their amazing World War I oral archive.
Just when these people were mortaring, a big German got up out of the trench. And he got a bandage around his head. He hadn't got a helmet on, he got a bandage out of his head. And he started running zigzag backwards. And the chap next door to me got his rifle. I said, don't. For some reason or other, I don't know why. I said, don't. And I'm certain that fella started a panic. Because when we went there, these Prussian guards, they put up their hands. And we captured about 50 of them again. And that was that. Ozzy immediately sent two companies through us with Alfred Pollard. And Alfred was a stalwart. He'd been out since 1914. And he took his company through. But Alfred was a terrific individualist. He'd already got a DCM up at Ypres and collected two MCs. And Alfred was one of these fire-eating type, and he went through, and he took on we passed sort of bombs along, and to him and his company, and he more or less left his company behind, and just depended upon about half a dozen stalwarts, and he bombed, and he took 200 or 300 yards of that trench, right the way along, because the British bomb, if you were a good bomber with a Mills, you could outrange the German stick bomb by a yard or two, 2 or 3, 5 yards possibly. And Alfred took him on, and he really got him on the run. It was quite a show, though. From a battalion point of view, it was a magnificent show, because every chap was 100%. Being in a regiment like the HAC was not a difficult job for an officer. Because, I mean, it didn't matter if you were there or not, really. Any lance corporal could take over, or any private, for that matter, and they were all equally good. So one doesn't take credit on oneself in the very, very slightest for these shows.
What a fantastic guy Bill was, hey? If that doesn't make you proud to be British, nothing will.
He went on to earn an MC also on the Northwest Frontier in 1919. In total, 1,650 men of the Honourable Artillery Company were killed during the war. At the outbreak of the Second World War, the Honourable Artillery Company was expanded once again. Numerous artillery batteries were raised, seeing action in North Africa, Italy, and D-Day and beyond. The infantry element of the Honourable Artillery Company was redesigned as an officer training unit and supplied officers to units across the army.
Having a nice time?
Come round here and I'll tell you, bloody gunners.
Over 700 soldiers of the Honourable Artillery Company were killed during the Second World War. Okay, so what does the Honourable Artillery Company do now, I hear you ask? Do they wield pikes and dress like soldiers of centuries gone by? Yes. Do they provide a ceremonial bodyguard for the Lord Mayor of London? Yes. So surely they don't actually do any real soldiering then? Yes, they do.
We've got two primary roles in the ISR space. One is surveillance and target acquisition patrols. We've now got a more nascent role as well called light intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance.
They do a very specialised job, in fact. And to be fair, it sounds like reserve service with them could be bloody brilliant.
Their job is to march up to 100 kilometres ahead of the front line, deep into enemy territory, and in the dead of night, construct observation posts in buildings, bushes or underground.
So anyway, that brings you up to speed with the British Army's oldest regiment, in fact one of the oldest regiments in the entire world. I'm planning on doing a regular series of films looking at the history of specific units, so please comment below with which units you would like to see me tackle next. I'll see you next week.